All right. So, rules committee will come to order.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. What I have are basically some changes, policy updates to the Senate Policy and Procedures Manual. We've been reviewing this manual over the last year and just updating it to reflect some of the changes that go on in the Senate here. And none of the changes that we're proposing have a cost impact to them, so there's no money involved in these changes. They're simply administrative. Some of these have been discussed in the past, and we've developed the final language for them, those two being policy number 2.40, compensatory time, and 2.60, leave donation. We made some changes to the compensatory time provision because of the electronic timesheet and some systems requirements and issues related to the current policy. And again, what the Rules Committee agreed to the last time we met was to allow the use of comp time up to the start of the new session, as opposed to having it end on 12/31 of the prior calendar year. And this ties the reporting of the comp time to the new electronic timesheet. And we've developed the final wording for that. I don't know if you want to go through that in any detail, but because the committee does need to approve the policy, we did develop the final wording for that, and that's in your material there. Also, I have attached to that the old policy red line copy and the changes, so you can see specifically what the changes were there. But again, the key change there was allowing employees to use comp time up to the start of the new session.
Okay, questions? These are things that have been Senator Senjama, it seems to me we talked about this in the summer sometimes.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty solid agreement on all of these things. Senator Senjama moves the revisions of the Senate policies to the senators and staff. Discussion?
Salary administration.
This is comp time. Senator, that's in your reading. I'll wait.
This is just comp time.
Yeah, just on, Mr. Chairman, on salary administration administration policy, 280.
We're not there yet.
We're not.
Are we doing that? Is that part of this?
That is part. What I was going to do, Senator, was just take each one at a time and work our way
down. Oh, okay. I'm too quick, I guess, here today.
Okay, so we're on 2.4. Discussion.
Okay, the next one, item 2.60, on leave donation. Again, that was one that was prior approved by the Rules Administration Committee, and we developed the final language. The reason for the changes there was that the leave donation policy was broadened so that legislative bodies could donate leave between bodies, and that required us to make some changes to our policy. And the changes that we made were that we require employees to utilize all vacation before they can now use donated leave. In the past, they could have a balance of up to 40 hours and still receive donated leave. Also, it establishes a criteria for the refund of unused hours. For instance, the hours are refunded on a pro rata basis in the event that any hours are unused. The other bodies don't refund hours, so there's issues with if we get donated hours from the House, for instance, do we refund those back to the House if they won't refund our hours back to us? And that, all of those contingencies are addressed in that policy. So what this does is it sets up the operating language to allow us to administer that donation policy.
And other legislative bodies just reverse to the House, I think, not the Wisconsin legislature.
Yes. And if there's any questions on that, I'll be happy to go over that.
Senator Senjama moves 2.60 change. I made the motion. Senator,
if I could be a little picky on that. First of all, if it says unused donated hours to a fellow senator,
restate to another side of employee. Sounds okay. Senator Frederickson moves that amendment. Discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Senator Sengen renews his motion on leave donation. He thinks it's as amended. Discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted.
Yeah, the next policy, nepotism 2.35, that's just a grammar change. Wherever we refer to supervisors throughout the document, we're changing that to managers to reflect that we have oversight over the employees are actually managers of the employee. And then also we change the title from anti-nepotism to nepotism. It's just a grammatical change. Typically, these policies are referred to as nepotism policies, and you don't engage in nepotism as opposed to just calling it an anti-nepotism policy. So just a couple minor grammatical changes to that one.
Sengen moves 2.35, changes to nepotism language. Discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted.
Okay, the next one, flexible schedules 2.50. There was a requirement under the old policy that the HR director needed to be notified by each manager of a person's flexible schedule during the summertime. And the MAC group.
Does anybody have that? What number is it?
It's 2.50. Is it missing? Okay.
See it.
So that.
Okay, let's pass over that one. We need to copy that.
Okay. The next one on the perform. The next one, 2.70, performance appraisal, just syncs up the terminology in this document to the actual appraisal form that we're using. The categories that were reflected in the old document don't conform to the revised performance appraisal policy that we developed. So that's the essential change there. Also, it takes out the beliefs section that's in the old document. We didn't think that was really important or appropriate to put the beliefs in an actual policy manual. That is not appropriate there.
Senator Sengen moves to change to 2.70. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The next one, 2.75, the promotion policy. We have a certain number of positions in the Senate that are career path positions. And the requirements for going from one level to another are very well specified. And what this does is it allows the HR director to administer that process under the guidelines that have been established.
Senator Sengen moves 2.75. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted.
The next one, 2.80, salary administration. What this does is that we tried to clean it up a little bit, first of all, to reflect that there is no personnel subcommittee, to further clarify the role of the Rules and Administration Committee and the role of the MAC in determining salary structure. And the basic concept here was that the Rules and Administration Committee determines the overall compensation philosophy, policy, and that sort of thing. And then the MAC group determines the overall salary structure, handles equity adjustments, reclassifications, restructuring, and exceptions to the overall policy.
Yeah, I see in the past, under B, the Secretary of the Senate oversees the personal operating budget of the Minnesota Senate. That's being stricken and will no longer get that oversee. Is that what's the reason?
Yeah, the intent on that, Senator, was that this particular policy talks about salary administration, and we thought that it was inappropriate to have budget in salary administration, that this is just strictly dealing with salary administration. So the Secretary of the Senate would still have responsibility for budget oversight and that sort of thing, but salary administration and budget are kind of two separate things, and this policy dealing strictly with salary administration, we thought that we should keep it related to salary administration issues.
So, Mr. Chair, so presumably there is some place a description of the responsibilities of the Secretary of the Senate where that would be addressed?
Right. Yes, and it would be addressed in the job description of the Secretary of the Senate.
And, Chairman, again, on going up the line a little bit, what's the meaning of striking the rules and administration subcommittee on personnel? I think you touched on that, but I didn't.
Yes. We don't have one when we reduce the size of the rules committee. Just basically, we don't have some.
All right.
Remember, the rules committee is bigger?
Oh, well, yeah, too bad. Okay.
Just thought. Okay, Senator Sessions moves 280.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sessions.
Chair, I find the role of the secretary and the role of, frankly, the director of human resources, maybe even the management advisory committee, to be a little ambiguous, at least. And if you just kind of cut to the chase, if somebody, you know, if the decision is it $50,000 or $60,000, who in this matrix makes that decision? We had a caucus experience more recently where the management advisory committee did. But now I read this, and all I'm seeing here is that they monitor, they review, they develop. But it doesn't say here they make that decision. It may be that oversight is the person that makes that decision, i.e. the secretary. And then we have the director here who administers it. There is a point in time in any of these decisions where a decision needs to be made, and I don't see in this matrix a lot of clarity with respect to where that decision's made. As an example, is it $50,000 or $60,000?
Mr. Boomhauer, why don't you, how, I think ultimately the decision rests here with this committee. And I think the personnel director follows the procedures and the tradition that we've had, unless someone wants to take it higher than that. And then ultimately you could end up here. Is that a fair way to?
Yeah, typically what happens and this most often comes up in new hire salaries, for instance. We have guidelines in terms of where new hires start and that sort of thing, and I follow those guidelines and I can make those decisions. Now, when it comes to situations that are out of those guidelines, let's say there would be somebody that somebody wanted to hire that had significant experience and that experience may warrant a higher salary, what I do in those types of situations is bring those before the MAC group, and the MAC group has a discussion on it. I make a recommendation based upon the person's experience, prior salary, the marketplace, and I present that to the MAC, and the MAC group has the final authority to determine, at least in the past, they determine what that salary is. They may adopt my recommendation. They may do something different.
Well, final is except if somebody wants to push it further.
Right.
To be here.
Right.
And traditionally what's happened is that has been kind of already but there have been instances over the years where, I mean, we ultimately decided we voted on salaries and stuff here. You know, we have a roster. But I think the way the system has developed over the years is to try to get that handled below the rules committee if you can. Otherwise, it could be.
Sure. What my concern was, none of what we're talking about, do I see on any of this? I don't see the MAC as being the committee that oversees your decisions in the resources director. I don't see in the rules committee bullets anything that says, well, you make the ultimate decision.
Senator,
I think it'd be just a little bit clearer in my mind if under the description of director of human resources, under the second bullet, if it said recommends compensation adjustments for employees to management advisory committee.
Okay.
And rules committee, because, you know, it doesn't always just stop with the Management Advisory Committee, and so at that point, this Director of Human Resources is reporting to the Rules Committee. If it said that, I think it'd be clear.
Why don't we set this one aside?
Chairman, I think there's probably a lot more going on here than, and we haven't, I haven't seen this till now, so maybe.
When I made my comments, Mr. Chair, I had not noted that the part of this is Senator Mergo and District Risky. That provides a little clarity, at least, between him and
me. Senator Metz, I want to assure you,
I just,
less going on here than people think, but let's just set it aside and we'll look at it.
Not more going on than there's.
Probably less. This has all been driven by the.
MAC? No.
By Mr. Blumenauer and MAC. And it's been kind of consensus stuff, so. But we'll just set this one aside and
chat some more about it. So, 2-9.
2-9, the voluntary unpaid leave, that entire policy is handled in the by the Legislative Coordinating Commission in their benefits book. So this is really, there's no need for this policy anymore.
Senator Rules, 2-9 resolution. Discussion, all favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Then, Mr. Blumenauer, we're now passing out 2.5.
Yes.
Senator Metz, just before, this was not sent out last week, like everything else. Okay, that's Senator Metz. And my intent when we sent out all those resolutions last week, what I was trying to do is get you all the agenda items prior to.
Okay.
And so I think that's my fault. I did not realize.
I didn't realize this
was on the agenda until this morning, because we had talked about this like 4, 5, 6 months ago. So Senator Metz, your point is well taken. Though the intent is to try to get you Rules Committee stuff.
I had it. Yeah,
time,
yeah.
So that you should have a chance to review it.
I appreciate that.
And so that was my. I didn't realize we were picking this up today, but it's something that.
It's probably.
Yep.
I'm sure it's fine. But
no. I think it's so legitimate that a member says, "Hey, I'd like to read this before you read it." I get it. I support that. So.
Okay, 2.5.
Okay, 2.5. The basic change there is that it deletes the requirement that I be notified of everybody's flexible schedule during the summer. The group felt that that's really something that's more appropriate between employees and their managers. And then as we were working through the language on that, it was a little bit convoluted. We just kind of cleaned up some of the grammar things, so there are no real substantive changes to that one.
Senator Sumner moves 2.50. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion adopted. Okay, Mr. Bilbao, thank you. Sands Commission, the next page that's in there, I think this needs more work.
Mr. Blumenauer is encouraging us to clarify a mission statement, and I think it seems like it'd be really simple, but apparently there's, at staff level, there's quite a bit of discussion about this wording. And so,
is this our current?
Well, what is our current situation?
Currently,
we don't have a mission.
We don't have a mission.
Why do you think we should?
Why do we need a mission statement?
Mr. Blumenauer, is the discussion around you as a personnel director think we maybe should have one? Others think that it's in the Constitution. Why are we doing this? Is that kind of where this is at?
Right. And whether it should be a policy or not a policy, and the fact that there's a lot of, built-in conflict in the legislative process. Most organizations have a mission statement, and it's used primarily for the employees.
Senator Clark says most organizations don't have a constitution.
But we have a very high turnover here, and having something like this in my mind would be helpful for new hire and orientation, and not even as a policy.
This is your opportunity. Members are going to think about this. We're not going to do this today, but make your pitch why you think.
Okay.
We should have this.
Something like this would be helpful in the recruitment and orientation of new employees. And it would be helpful to have something like this just in their new hire paperwork that kind of very succinctly spells out
the
purpose of the organization and some basic common sense values in terms of how you treat people in an organization. And it's helpful also from a disciplinary issue. If we have discipline problems with employees, we can say that this is generally how we operate. It's just a very high-level statement of the overall purpose of the Senate and some basic principles of our operation, which is kind of consistent with the respectful workplace training that goes on every year for new employees as well. So it just kind of ties that together a little bit more.
Well, I think it's a little bit clearer to me when I hear this description, but what's written on this paper doesn't really say anything about the employees. So that isn't very clear, and I think if it's going to apply to more than employees, that it's somewhat lacking.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, I actually, somewhat similar, I mean, my comment was a little blue, obviously, but in general, organizational development is good to have some clear guidelines about mission. I think what Senator Berglund said was, I was thinking, which is, it should be clear that we're talking about the staff, and not, I guess, as a whole lot of members that have some thoughts about what the mission of the Senate is.
I thought we had a... At one point, we have like a little fold-out thing that talks about
the code of ethics.
Code of conduct and ethics, and it is part of our policies.
Okay, what? How is that different, Mr. Boomhauer? How is this different than that?
This is a little bit more succinct and than that.
Does this replace that?
No, this would just be...
What's the different functions of the two things? Because we have one of those. I forget, was that five or six years ago we did that?
Oh, it's longer than that.
Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, we started that back in the 90s, could have been 94, and then we revised it some later time, 97. And then when we were in the business of kind of consolidating all of our policies into a manual, we looked at it again. I don't remember how long it's been since we took a look at it last. It may have been a while.
It might be a good idea if it were handed around to people again. We have new members since then, and I'm not sure everybody's read it very recently.
Okay, we can do that. Okay, so this is for members to think about, and apparently there is quite a robust discussion at staff level that some people think that the Constitution says what it says, and you shouldn't do this. Mr. Boomhauer obviously thinks that we should consider something like this. So, okay?
In all segments of staff, or is it just a nucleus of folks that are paying attention?
Some of the, on the MAC. Apparently there's been quite a discussion on the MAC about this, and I don't know how it breaks out, but we're not ready for prime time with this, is what I understand. There's not a consensus among our top staff people on this. Is that the way to say it? And I don't know if that means, I don't know which one of those two doesn't like this, but somebody doesn't like this.
Yeah. I agree.
Neither. So, Mr. Buhari, you have neither of these people agree with this. Well, members, I think it would be good to maybe talk to our two staff and find out what their opinion is on this. And I don't know where Ms. Selmer or Mr. Watson is on this. So perhaps just informal conversations with those people might, and I don't know where Ms. Sparks is, so some informal conversation with MAC people might help you think through this. Okay, let's move
okay,
then
thank you.
To Senate resolutions. First one, postage.
You can, or you can take them all together, whichever you prefer.
Senator Sundrum, should we do them separately, or be easier for the clerk?
Separately.
Okay, yeah. Senator, who wants to move this? The postage one.
Also.
Metzen Boone's postage. And Senator Frederickson, to anticipate, it's my understanding that if you want to use bulk mailings, you can count that against whatever your number is here. Is that correct? Who am I looking at? That is correct. So it accomplishes. Some members prefer to use a bulk amount rather than postage. It's just that they figure the math out and you get less things.
And the U.S. Postal Service is changing those regulations again, and we'll get those changes out.
Okay.
The other thing we want to emphasize on postage, we had talked about reducing the amount of postage that people get as a budget-saving item, because a lot of members have said they don't use all their postage. The other option is you don't have to take all your postage. You can save the money because they don't buy it till you come and request more. So we really, in both caucuses, I think we should emphasize to our members as we look at cutting budgets, to the extent that you don't need to use all of your postage, it will save the Senate money if you don't go take a bunch of stamps that you aren't going to be using. On the other hand, we didn't want to make an across-the-board reduction because there are some people that use all their stamps and probably more could be used. So we don't want to do anything that's going to hurt a number of people who need it. But a lot of people have said that they haven't used it all. That can be a reduction for the Senate, and we need to obviously try to do that.
We'll get out a memo on that so that people can think through that. Senator Bergman.
You know, my committee uses way more than 1,000 stamps. Just people writing to my committee from everybody else's district. And so I go find people in the Senate who don't use all their stamps, and some people give me some stamps. So
that's why we're not reducing the number here, because we know that takes place. You're not swapping votes for that, are you, Senator?
Not at all. Not at all. I just let the person know that we'll continue to answer their constituents' mail.
So there's no special. I think we're all interested. Is there special consideration? Okay, Senator Paulson.
Well,
I've never
Mr.
been
Chair.
Over in our caucus.
Mr. Chair, is there anybody that is not experiencing more growth in email communications versus the first class mail? And it's, I mean, answering via email certainly saves money. And to what extent are we taking full advantage of that? Because it would seem to me that one could reduce this significantly. And maybe there's parts of the state where you're not getting as much email. But I guess constituent-wise, I hate to even make a guess, but I bet 90% of mine comes from email rather than snail mail.
It seems like it would be simpler if we encourage members not to take the stamps if they don't need them and then see where we're at rather than try to manage this on the front end. Because my experience in the past has been we always get surprised at members who say they got to have a lot more than, and I don't know if we don't have that level of stress to members this year.
So, Mr. Chair, have you taken a look at where we might be what kinds of dollars we may need in terms of
yes.
addressing budget stuff and whether some of this would help or?
It's all going to help. So.
Okay.
Senator Senger moves this resolution. Stamps. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion adopted. Interns and law clerks. Senator Clark's aware.
I'm not sure how that really
works,
but yes.
Well, yeah.
Works.
Yeah.
You
don't
do what? If I got one, I'd be happy to move this.
Senator Clark moves the interns and clerks.
Clerks.
Understanding these people have already been hired, but is there any idea what this costs? This is $20,000, $30,000, or is it more?
$3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah,
Mr.
Chairman.
$40,000.
Yeah.
$40.
It's $75 a week. We do have a stipulation where interns can get housing if they're from out of the district.
Is it possible to get testifiers to
and
come
that's $400
to the table
a month.
So we can.
But the last 2 years, we haven't had anybody that accepted that housing. So, and it went up, I think it was 2007, we increased it to $75 per intern or per senator for each week. And before that, it was $50. We do have quite a few interns. I don't know the count of it yet. Scott and John Trombley in our Senate office handle the intern program. They do a great job with it, so I sure can get you a number.
I just wanted a general idea.
The intern program is really very cost effective in terms of the amount we, I mean, they don't get anything close to an hourly wage that would have to be paid. So.
Okay, Senator Burke.
I was just going to say that I think it's a bargain for us. And many of these young people that come and work here as interns do go on in government in various ways. So it's a good deal.
She started as a page. I think the Speaker of the House started as a Senate employee in one of these positions.
What do you think? believe the Speaker of the House started as a Senate employee in one of these positions. On the Clark motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Senator Langseth moves the President Pro Tem resolution. Senator Frederickson, you'd be willing to serve again?
Absolutely.
How's it going, Mr. President? Is he okay to work with?
No, he's truly a great American and a good President Pro Tem.
On the Langseth motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Senator Berglund, would you move the majority leader?
Yes, I will.
Berglund moves the majority minority leader resolution. Discussion?
A division.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passed. Senator Olson, do you want to move the...
Sure, that's fine.
And Mr. President, you have to appoint a...
Yeah, we've got some names. Just to say that the two brand new members are part of this group, and then there's six more, and I...
So maybe Senator Metzen should move this.
I'll
Metzen moves the resolution and appointment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Who wants to notify the House? Senator Bach, former House member?
Notify the House resolution.
These are names.
Senator Bach is willing to notify the House resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Temporary rules. Now, this is lines 1.1 and 1.13. Is our resolution on the Secretary of the Senate in the interim here? Remember, you want to read that? We worked hard to get these all out to you last week. So. Senator Berglund moves the 09 resolution. Discussion, all in favor say aye.
So that you all know when we get to the floor, Senator Republicans will have an alternative candidate to the Senate to
take
the Senate position.
Okay. Is that something you'd like to have out there?
Well, I think we're gonna nominate Dan Wolf. You feel Dan is a great American.
That's my life. Yeah.
And served this well and want to honor him.
Okay. On the Berglund motion on 09, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. This is per diem for attending meetings.
Travel expenses.
And travel expenses.
I'll move adoption of this resolution.
Senator Berglund moves adoption of the attend meetings resolution. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Can I just catch Senator? Okay, so people can go to these noted meetings. Is that what this says?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's approved.
Mm-hmm. And then what about in-state meetings? Is that still?
Pardon me, Senator.
Well, an in-state meeting. I don't know.
I think there's two.
Cragans or Detroit Lakes for Health and Human Services meeting or something
approved,
like this.
We still do that.
Okay.
All of it has to be approved.
You've now frozen that.
Right. I was just going to. We're just pointing that out. A memo has gone out that, what does the memo say? Why don't you come up to the podium on this one? And members know that I'm a firm supporter of members traveling for educational purposes and so forth, but I think because of our budget, we have to...
Basically, the memo that went out said that...
Identify yourself.
Michelle Kelm Helgen. The memo that went out said that the travel is basically frozen at this point, both out of state and in state, with the exception of for those committees, within the state that need to do work related to the budget or related to some issue that may emerge, that on a case-by-case basis, we've kept a small amount of travel money in our budget. But as we went through the budget to look for where we were going to get the money to unallot, which is $800,000, travel was clearly an area.
You got a lot.
Right. Yes. And travel was clearly an area that we went to save money.
How much did that
as part of? It was, the amount of savings is probably $50,000. So.
And obviously, we want to accommodate a member. If there's something really important, we'll try to work through that. But this is going to be where the bill fighters are. But there potentially could be conferences out of state that we want a key member to go to. Particularly if they come back with a solution to some problems. Okay, Senator.
Can I just ask, though, the in-state travel Commerce Committee, the committees can travel, is that it? Or we have a ban, or is this?
That's with approval also. But the thought is that there will be some traveling by committees during the budget discussion here.
Is it approved by this committee, or you?
Rules Administration or its chair. On the verge of motion, I intend to
Lush.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Committee schedule, is there any changes here? Other than the elimination of the Education Policy Committee, I think all these times and meetings are the same. Is that okay? We change Judiciary's room to 120?
15.
Oh, 215. But they didn't bump anybody, did they?
Okay, everybody good here? Senator Metzen moves the committee schedule discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Adopted. Parking space boilerplate.
Do you have a copy of the schedule?
I don't think there's anything new here.
I've got two committee makeups for the schedule.
I think the parking around the Capitol is boilerplate.
This guy.
No, copy of the committee schedule.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Adoption of temporary joint rules.
Thank you.
Senator Clark moves that. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Adopted. This is a contract resolution to allow the House not to meet Thursday. We are going to meet Thursday. We have bill injections on Thursday. Our idea on Thursday, that's the committee from the going. The House, I believe, is not going to be on Thursday. So they need agreement with us not to meet on Thursday.
Do you have adoption of the resolution?
What if we said no?
Pardon?
What if we said no?
Well, I think our intent on Thursday is to meet at 11. We have to process some work so that a committee or two can do some work on Thursday. And then we're going to recess till later in the day for introductions. Get that first day of introductions in, so maybe 3 o'clock. People are working to, the first few bills are always reserved for introduction, and those bills are being for introduction. So we're not really doing any work on Thursday. Remember the purposes, no votes, I don't believe. But I'm aware. I think what's happening, Senator Murphy wants to process not on the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any deep information on this, but I know on the Senate schedule, Senator Murphy has two bills listed for a hearing at 12:30 on Thursday. The first one is this seatbelt as a primary offense bill. And then he has another bill that's named Senate File XXXX. So I don't know what the content of the second one is or further. But I think he wanted to have an introduction before this 12:30 meeting.
We'll talk with him. He may not have his introduction before the 12:30 meeting, but the bills will get introduced on Thursday, so.
Mr. Chair, as a practical matter, then there won't be much business at 3 o'clock.
No, just paperwork, just paperwork. Senator Metzger would know better than I do. Are there a lot of bills being introduced at this point? Not many. And there are going to be like 1, 2, 3, and 4.
There's 4 or 5, I think.
In addition to these 1, 2, 3 bills. Absolutely. No, that's the point I'm trying to make. I don't think members have to stick around to the committee. Although we know they'll all be working on reform.
Reform.
Senator Clark moves the 3-day housing concurrent discussion. All right. Committee membership. Senator Clark moves the 09 resolution. I believe this is everything we discussed at the subcommittee with one addition. Senator Rex, being added to the tax committee, wanted to be removed from another committee. And I believe that would be the Senator Solis committee. Otherwise, for the rule, for the committee on committees members, this is what we did that day a couple weeks ago. For the other members, though, maybe we should go through the list a little more explicitly. Ms. Campbell, can you, by memory, go through each committee and just say if there's an addition or a subtraction? Let's try to do that. Again, the subcommittee on committees went through all of this, and this is to accommodate our two new members, in addition, some minor adjustments. Ms. Campbell, anything different on ag and... Please, for the tape, introduce yourself.
Karen Campbell. There is one new member on Ag and Vets, and that's Senator Phoebe. She's replacing Senator Worgen there. Business, industry, and jobs. There are no new members there. No members came off. On capital investment, there are a couple of new members. I believe
got the whole Senate.
No, but Senator Lang said this week, you may have hit Senator Lang's limit now. Even he is saying, I think we're about where we can go.
That's okay. It doesn't meet anyway. So
way, way beyond right. Where we should be.
Ms. Campbell, who are the new ones?
I believe that the new members are Senators Johnson, Senator Sharon, and Senator Day. Is he a new member?
I think so.
I believe. There are no changes on commerce and consumer protection. The Education Committee reflects the combination of the Education Policy Committee and the Budget Division. For the most part, that membership stayed based on the Education Budget Division. Senator Phoebe has joined that committee, and Senator Michelle has joined that committee. Senator Phoebe is replacing Scheid, and Senator Michelle is replacing Worgen.
And members, just for, I don't know if anybody, this was driven by Senator Weaver and Senator Stump. They decided that this would be more efficient. And so we've got a bit of a different animal here. Senator Weaver, as a senior member giving up his chairmanship, he created something called Deputy Chair. And what that means in reality is he has a, obviously his relation with Senator Stump is something they're going to work out. But from a staffing perspective, he does not have a committee administrator, so that's a savings to the Senate. But he does maintain his committee chair level pay for his legislative assistant. So it's a, one way to think about this is if we had 8 or 10 senior members choose to be deputy chairs, we could save a lot of money. I don't think we're going to get many volunteers. But I think Senator Weaver, in that instance, has done, he and Senator Stump have done something that saved money for the Senate. And they think it would be more efficient for this discussion.
He's all worked up there. Watch it, Campbell. Go ahead, he's sitting.
really attract people. Sarah Cohen was raising a question that
this is not a separate committee.
It's the same as transportation and higher ed. So it's under the finance committee, but they're policy-only bills. Do not have to go to the finance committee. So it's the same structure as we have for transportation and higher ed.
And ag and vets.
And ag and vets. Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman, as long as you raise that issue, are there any changes on any of the other finance divisions that are not shown on this sheet?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Membership. Membership on the...
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Oh, it's not on this list, but we can talk about that, yes. After we get through this...
Are there more committees that aren't on? Is this only one that were changes?
The finance divisions aren't on.
Right.
But there are membership changes, yes.
Well, isn't the education...
Why aren't they on
here? That includes both. And so does transportation.
Well, they're not standing. No.
Some of them do, and...
The policy... That they're on here because they are freestanding committees policy-wise. But a division like judiciary is not on here. The funding division of judiciary is not on here because it's totally a division, only a division of finance.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're starting a little bit of a slide, Senator Olson. And this began with Senator Dean Johnson. And when he was offered the chairmanship of the transportation, Mr. Watson, you'll correct me if I misstate the history, but when he was offered the chairmanship by Senator Moe of the transportation funding division, at some point, was he chairman of the policy? No, he wasn't, because he joined the majority caucus. And so we combined the two committees. When he became majority leader and left the chairmanship, and Senator Murphy took over the chairmanship, that same process continued where you had this combination of finance and policy. Now we've continued it with two other committees. What's been awkward is, in the finance committee, and you know this, is that when we have a bill that has nothing to do with finance, and obviously all sorts of bills do have something to do with either finance or tax, end up in front of one committee or the other usually, but where you do have a bill that's a pure policy bill, we have this debate within the Finance Committee. Are we going to start hearing the policy bills of, say, transportation that have nothing to do with finance? And I suggested that we simply have some kind of a formality where we would just have those bills on the calendar, the committee agenda, and pass them on to the floor. Now we've set up a different rule where we can bypass the Finance Committee for what are strictly finance bills. Well, now we've added another committee to do the same thing.
Is there a finance bill? No, I'm sorry, I misstated that.
Strictly policy. No finance bill.
Right, I'm sorry. I hope that's not the case. I misstated that. I'm sorry, Senator Olson. So where there's a purely policy bill that has nothing to do with finance, that then is handled in this different procedural way. Well, now we've set up another committee, education, because of the collapse of Senator Wieger's committee, we're doing the same thing. I have strong hopes that within the next year we'll have all the committees, including tax, as a subset of the finance committee, and I'll segregate the policy bills, and we'll go from there.
Keep open.
So, Mr. Chairman, why would you need to send the policy out of this combined committee? Why wouldn't you send it just to the floor, or if there's another policy committee that needs to see, rather than bothering to go to the finance at all and having to clutter their agenda?
Well, that's what we're doing.
That's what happened. What you just described is what happened.
Is what happened? Well,
we've evolved. The process has evolved.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Chairman, is it this committee that appoints members of the finance divisions and never is voted on by the members of the Senate? Is that not that? Because those people are not on the full finance committee, so
no.
It's not like Senator Cohen can appoint them. Somebody has to do it. I mean, It ends up being written down in a little red book.
Organizing
so.
Committee.
The organizing
it's like official. Somebody has to make it official.
The organizing committee does.
Yeah.
And in the interim.
But the organizing committee is just recommends people be on committees, and then it comes to the rules committee.
Well, this predates me, but finance divisions have never been on this resolution. We can put them on next time, next 2 years from now.
Well, Mr. Chairman, another evolution that most of us at the table remember, not all of us, but most of us, with a couple of exceptions, obviously when we had a finance committee and everybody who served on the finance committee was on a finance division, but nobody else was on a finance division, then you had the finance committee appointed, and this was only true of my first couple of years on the finance committee in the Senate. And then I believe what happened is Mr. Watson, the chairman or the majority leader and the chairman of the committee determined the members of the division within the finance committee. There was no formal process. But now that we have this system...
I don't think it necessarily has to be a resolution that goes to the floor of the Senate, but I do think that the rules committee has to do the appointments because the organizing committees are not really officially, you know, a committee or an organization of the Senate. They're organizations of our caucuses. I mean, they make recommendations. They don't actually.
Okay. Food for thought. Okay, let's continue here, and then we will point out the division changes that are taking place. So go ahead.
As you mentioned on energy, utilities, technology, and communications, Senator Rest has been removed from that committee by her choice. On environment and natural resources policy, both Senator Phoebe and Senator Kielash have joined that committee.
So, Mr. Chairman, who came off?
Nobody.
Or is that committee larger?
On the Finance Committee, there is, I believe, Senator Day and Senator Wieger are both new appointees to that committee. I believe they're...
That was just... that was Senator Cohen's request to add those members.
Well, Senator let Cohen. Me just... Mr. Chairman, just put that out. With this change in the Education Committee, Senator Wieger is the most... was the most senior majority member who didn't serve on either tax or finance. And he was elected in 1996. And so I talked to Senator Pogemiller about this. And I mean, Senator Wieger had expressed a request. He's been on finance in the past. And again, he was the most senior majority member. Well, then we looked at the list. Senator Pogemiller asked me to look at the list of other people with that seniority. And the other person who was not on either finance or tax was Senator Day, who's even more senior than Senator Wieger, because I think Senator Day was elected in 1990. So you had two relatively senior members of the Senate. In the case of Senator Day, a very senior member who didn't have the opportunity to serve on either of the major committees. So,
And not for argumentative purposes, but just got a little history. We had gotten the Finance Committee down to 15 members after reorganization. And so there's some creep here, too. I personally think the smaller finance committee makes more sense.
And Mr. Chairman, you and I, by and large, agree on that. I think, as you know, one of the reasons we've creeped up a little bit is the fact that we have 10 division chairmen. And it became awkward in having division chairmen who didn't serve on the finance committee. And that was the other increase, is we added the two division chairmen and then added a minority member.
I didn't see it as awkward. I thought it provided an opportunity to convince people later that we should have fewer divisions, but I think we've gone the wrong way. I shouldn't be saying this because I'm sure...
I think I made that argument once.
Yeah. But so, again, members, we've slipped.
I lost.
After this session, I'm sure we'll have fewer volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. After this, nobody wants to be in a finance division.
Wants to do it.
The Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee is down one member. Wergen was on that committee, and we've not replaced her. The Committee on Higher Education has gained a member, Senator Erickson Ropes. There are no changes to the Judiciary Committee. And Oh, here. No changes to rules. State and local government operations and oversight has added two members, Senator Carlson and Olsen. And also...
Sieben was already on it?
No, Sieben was not already on it. Sieben is taking Dan Larson's spot, so she's also a new member.
Taking whose
spot? Senator Dan Larson's spot. So there are three new members there. And the Committee on Taxes, both Senator Rest and Scheid are new members there. They replace Senators Larson and Senator Sieben, who chose to come off to go to local government. And on the Committee on Transportation, Senator Kielash is the new member there.
In the Larson spot. Okay, now on the funding divisions, let's try to go through those that are not on this list. K-12 we just talked about. Any other changes there?
I'm K-12.
No.
The only thing that comes to mind right now is that Senator Kielash is going to be appointed to the Economic Development Committee, and that committee is changing its name also to the Economic Development and Housing Division.
Phoebe's on ag.
Phoebe is on ag, but we got that here, right? We got that here.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I think we've covered them all. And members, we were really trying to minimize changes.
Some of these losses of members created some dynamics, and that I think the key to it all ultimately was that we needed two suburban members on the taxes, and that led to Rest and Shine.
It's called
and power. Got some other things in
there. You're onto something.
Mr. Can I just make a parenthetical comment about the tax committee with Senator Scheid? She was the other senior member who wasn't on either tax or finance.
Hey.
So when she was appointed to the tax committee, that left Senator Wieger and Senator Day by themselves.
Mr. Chairman, just seeing
my
own sense of well-being today, I would move that Senator Kielash be added to the Economic Development Budget Division. And that the name of the division be changed to add housing to its title.
Are you trying to set some kind of precedent?
Well, there has to be an official action taken with, you know, it's a recorded. This just can't happen out of thin air.
Senator Maria, would it scare you to know that a lot of things happen out of thin air around here?
Well, I think something as important as membership on a budget division should be.
Okay. Senator Clark moves that the committee membership 09 be adopted, and in addition, a notation in that motion
that Kielash is being added to economic development and housing, and that the committee's name is being, the word housing is being added to the name. All of that is a footnote to the motion. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes. Members, that took this took a lot of work. We tried to accommodate people as best we could.
Hopefully people are pretty pleased, so. Have we done everything? Members, I think we're done. Anything that anybody wanted to bring up that we are going to, this is not a well thought out, there's no decisions on any of this yet. But I would like to bring to the Rules Committee in the next few weeks a couple changes to the rules that will streamline the end of the session a little in terms of deadlines and things. And they would be changes to the Senate rules. And I would be chatting. This obviously would mostly affect finance and tax bills. And so I'll be chatting with the chairs there. And nothing dramatic, but just minor things about giving a little more breathing room at the end for members to see those bills before we end up voting on them. But we don't want to do anything that kind of ties our hands either. But the House has a couple rules that in the end start driving things, and I think the Senate needs to protect itself from that, just to be real straightforward about it. So, but I don't have anything particular at this moment, but I've been thinking about that, and we'll be talking with the chairs of the Finance and Tax Committees about that. So, but those are rules, Senator Bergen, that would have to come to the full committee here and the full Senate. I didn't realize you've always been a little concerned about some of these things that happen behind the curtain. Huh? Are there other things behind the curtain we should be talking about?
Not that I can think of, but when you're...
Let's not tell her what those things are.
When
you come to mind, she'll bring them up.
When members are being officially appointed to official committees of the Senate, in my mind, that has to be done by the House. Whether it's on the paper that goes to the full floor of the Senate or not, at least it has to be in the minutes of the House.
So that's not been the tradition.
Yeah, but Mr. Chairman, it's part of Senator Berglund, where we've had this evolution of the finance process, it starts lending itself to some of this. Otherwise, let's go back to the old finance system.
No card, yeah.
What is the old finance system?
A committee with
pretty building, huh?
Four or five divisions building within the committee, and everybody serves in finance. Can't serve on the division unless you're on the finance committee. I don't think we're probably not going to do that.
Well, that's I was going to suggest that if you and Senator Berglund can work that out in the Senate, more power to you.
So it lends itself.
I don't think it's particularly a desirable way to go, but in lieu of that, since Senator Cohen can't appoint people to serve on divisions that don't serve on the committee, then it has to be done by the Rules Committee, you chair, as leader of the whole Senate.
I suppose this would be the time to mention that I never got a, and it's almost to the point where I stop saying it now, but I had been here 12 years before I ever got any titles. But now we have people who have been here 2 years that are on three funding divisions.
Oh, yes. I understand.
Mr. Chairman, that's not true.
What's not true?
When I came here, you were a chairman of a tax division, and I think you had additional staff.
I think it was a subcommittee. I don't think it was.
Didn't you have additional staff, though? You and Senator Stumpf and whoever else?
Were you back by that time?
All right. Let's go.
Everybody's ready.